Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and it's good to be here. Hello, everybody who's watching us live. You guys, it's been a whole week since we got probed. Well, the Nexus got probed. We got a probe a week ago. Let's put it that way. Probius came out, and some other things with that patch that I don't know that we were all expecting. Well, we kind of were because we talked about them, but they happened, and he got launched, and I'd like to talk about what we think. Maybe what we're enjoying most about the Probius patch, the PP, I like to call it. For me, it's Probius himself. I think he's great. I've really grown to like him a lot. I don't know that I'm totally using him right yet. I don't know if I don't know what his place is in the world in terms of any sort of competitive advantage, or I haven't even looked at what his win rates are since the launch of that character, but I think he's ridiculously charming and fun to play. And his kit is weird, and I like that. I really like him. I'm really curious what you guys think. John, you've been playing a bit of the probe. What do you think of Probius?
I like him. He is probably, as of right now, my favorite part of the patch. But that's only because we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, I guess, and I still have not trained myself to use the new UI to its fullest. I still constantly look up and see that new UI and go, oh, that's nice. Ooh, look at all the information it can give me.
Yeah.
When did that show up?
Sure.
And I think that will ultimately be my favorite part. As soon as I can break that muscle memory of not looking at that part of the screen.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see that up there. It feels like I'm in a broadcast game once in a while. Yeah. Like, especially when I'm dead and I'm sort of waiting for things, I'll look at it and go, oh yeah, that's right. This all changed. It looks like it used to on TV. So it's weird, but I think I'm all in on it and I really like it. But you're right, there's a lot of muscle memory and eye memory going on in this game. And when you're focused on playing a character or the way that you usually play, I still find myself hitting tab when I don't need to. I still forget that a lot of the information I need is right up top now, or in other UI ways, or it's being spelled out for me. So I got to get better at that. Where are you at with Bo with Probius? You've been playing him a little bit, yeah?
No, not really. I played one or two games and I'm kind of not interested.
Wow, you heard it here first. Yeah. Tell us what you don't like. That's because we need a dissenting opinion here. What do you not like about Probius?
I'm not sure. I think he looks cool. I think he's cute. I think his photon cannon is kind of cool. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of photon. Like, I'm a fan of the idea of photon cannons, but I'm more of a Zerg player. So the photon cannons are just stuff for me to shred.
Yeah,
but I think seriously, he just I think, you know, you need time to warm up to a hero, and he didn't immediately grab me. So there's a lot of other stuff happening. Arthas is having a heyday, it would seem, and I've been playing more ranked, and apparently Probius not doing so well on the ranked side of things. So there isn't really a reason to play him or get good with him, I suppose, right now. So yeah.
It's interesting because I'm finding him to be so much fun just from a pure kind of, I don't know. He's like a weird anomaly in the game for me. I know there's other characters like this, like Gazlo's weird and there's a lot of stuff to manage with him. And certainly somebody like Abathur is like off the charts weird, but I don't know. I like this. I like my loop of put down a pylon and then put up a cannon and place it in a way that's smart so that they're not necessarily just tearing through your pylon, and always remember to have one down because you need it for the mana, and that micromanagement of that character is working for me. And I usually don't like that. Like, I'm usually not a fan of, I don't know, micro with a character where he's having to, you know, put up turrets or any of that stuff. Like, I don't like playing Gazlo. It's not fun for me to play Gazlo. Maybe one day I will, but right now I've never really glommed onto him. Too many moving parts, too many things to think about. Not that Probius's kit is super complicated or anything, because it's not really, but it's just enough of that, I think, that it works for me. And also just the sounds of things beaming in and what he sounds like when you move him. It feels like I'm playing StarCraft again, and I played a lot of Protoss in the day.
I play Protoss, and so it's both what I like about Probius and what I hate about Probius. Yeah. And we'll kind of talk about that more in the next section. But it's, I'm with you. Like the sounds, hearing the little probe sounds when you click them and go around the map and all of that, seeing pylons, seeing photon cannons, like all of that stuff. I'm in for all of that.
Yeah.
But it also has led to my biggest problem with Probius, which is weird because he's a hero that I absolutely love playing, but don't love the character. Mm. So it's this weird mishmash for me.
Why is it you don't like the character? Is it because he's not really one and they retconned him in there and it's like Hammer? You don't really have a personal connection to that character?
No, it's not even that. I mean, I guess we can get into it. Probius, for me, I think they made a mistake. And I think when they announced Probius, I think they should have opened rather than that cinematic, which I love the cinematic and it's really cool. I think they should have come right out and said, here's his abilities. Because the mistake they made is, even though it wasn't much time, I had enough time to see, oh, they're putting a probe in the game. Here's what that means to me. And then see what they executed on and have it not hit almost any of it.
Interesting. What did you think he was going to be based on that original trailer? Did you think he was going to backline?
I thought he was going to be putting pylons all over the place. I thought he was going to have cool photon cannons. So I thought the way his photon cannons were going to work is you'd be able to set those up in all sorts of places all over the map, like have a bunch of them out all the time. But you would only have limited pylons that you could put down, so you would make them active depending on where you were placing your pylons. I thought that seemed cool. I thought you were going to be able to summon a gateway and maybe have a bunch of zealots or stalkers charge out. Like, I thought he was going to build things.
Like probes do. Yeah, like a probe does, sure.
And instead, he summons two pylons and a photon cannon. Sometimes you can get two, maybe three, if you're really lucky. And that's it. Other than that, he doesn't really do anything else a probe does.
Yeah, the proton cannons, for those who haven't messed with him or didn't pick him up or haven't tried him, they have a very limited life. They pop up next to in the radius of your pylon, and then the cannon shoots for a bit, and then it goes away. And it goes away before your cooldown's up to put another one down. Now, you can do some talents and some other stuff later to have a little crossover, like you said. You can maybe even get lucky and have three in some rare cases. But if there's a weakness about the character that I like the least, it is the ephemeral nature of the cannons. In the game proper, in StarCraft, the nice thing about cannons were, yes, they had to be placed down. If you had the money for them, you had the crystals and gas for them, you could put as many as you wanted in the radius of pylons. And if a pylon got destroyed, the cannons would cease working and could be destroyed as well, but they would stop working. But they were still functional if I got another pylon down. And that's missing from this completely. Like, that's not even part of the gameplay loop in this particular part of life.
I think you can't kill the pylons to unpower a cannon.
Right.
It's just you're dealing with such a limited set of space, and the cannons are around for such a small amount of time, you don't see it.
Right. Right. Okay. So do you feel like, when we throw this at Bo, do you feel like the nature of this game automatically restricts them a little bit when they try to take a unit from another game, be it StarCraft or any other game where it's not so much a character but a unit? They get away with it more probably with Hammer, because Hammer's got all these it's already an offensive unit. But a probe in StarCraft world is just a piece of crap that will die if you kill it and build some things, but that's it. Like, his job is done. And they had to turn him into a thing that could move down a lane, that could take down towers, that could wave clear, all that kind of stuff, and be in a fight. So there's a lot of, you have to make a bunch of concessions to make that function from a design standpoint. Were they doomed from the beginning? Like, is there just no other way to do this?
Well, yeah. It's human nature. And John is conveniently forgetting 99% of what a probe spends its time doing, which is not building cool shit. They spend maybe 90% going from the Nexus to the Vespine Center,
yep,
and back to the Nexus, and then to the Vespine. The vast majority of time, seconds spent by all probes, is spent collecting minerals. The other 10% is being sent off into the fog of war to scout out the enemy team and die, which is a fantasy that you can live out, much to your teammates' dismay. In a match, you can go find the enemy team, scout it out, and die.
Yeah.
But that's what they spend the majority of their time doing in a game. So if you look at it that way, the canvas is kind of open.
Right.
And actually, we're going to cover, there's a Reddit balance Q&A. One of the major points that was discussed, we can just bring up now, is John is not alone. You're not alone.
Turns out I'm not.
You're connected. You were one with the Kala, John, because a lot of people, I think, feel similar to you in that it's the hashtag not my Probius.
Oh my gosh. Did that actually take off? Not my Probius.
No,
hashtag?
No, no. Okay. I've been watching the Power Rangers stream and everything's like not my Tommy or not my Power Rangers, because there's new Power Rangers. So
that thing
my brain's infected with Twitch chat.
That thing is the most beautiful thing in the world and the most scourgy thing that Twitch could have ever brought up on humanity is having that 24-hour stream going. But anyway, whatever.
I know.
You've been into
it's true. Yeah. But so the singular photon cannon, because you can put multiple pylons, but there's one cannon.
Yeah.
And that was a conscious design to distinguish him from Gazlow, but to also make it his own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a pet cannon that where you put it is of utmost importance. Here's another thing it doesn't do. It doesn't prioritize heroes.
Right.
I haven't investigated this too much, but I don't even know what the logic is. Does it shoot the nearest thing?
I think it just shoots the nearest thing, right?
The way they talked about it in the Reddit post, and I also haven't tested it, so I don't want to say this is 100% a fact, but the wording from the Reddit post was that it actually prioritizes minions.
Oh. I don't like that. I wish that wasn't true. I don't like that at all.
On one hand, you've got, okay, sweet new hero with a new turret, a big turret that does whatever that it wants, and... then you've got Gazlow, who just recently got reworked to have all of his turrets target whatever you please. Like, it's now on the one button when you play Gazlow. It's not a talent or anything like that. You can target it wherever you want. So it kind of feels bad to be like, well, I got one turret, and it does what it wants. And there's this other hero here that can get, like, a billion turrets if he specs into it and target whatever that... Like, it just seems like...
Well, the positive
so
spin
my
on
turrets are worse. That's just the perception. My turrets are worse.
The positive spin on that would be that they could certainly add that or make that more, you know, accessible or expand the use of the thing. I mean, the minute I played the character until the last game I've had with him, the only thing that's always in my head that's at all negative about the character, I really like him a lot, but that cannon is just not what it could be. And I don't know what it is.
Doesn't do a lot of damage.
Yeah,
right?
First of all, it doesn't do a lot of damage. Second, it's barely there. It's there for a very limited amount of time. It feels like the entire game, that cannon is about as good as your initial spiders with Nazebo. Your initial spiders kind of suck in like level 1, 2, 3 with Nazebo. Later, they can be beefed up real well, and they're great, especially if you're a good skill shotter and all that. But... that cannon feels cool in the beginning, like those spiders do, but not doing a ton of damage. But then later they feel like level 1 spiders or level 1 cannon still, to put it another way. So that's my only real complaint. And not just because, since we don't have a lot of lore to work with here or a lot of other character things to sort of glom onto, as John has certainly indicated, and I think rightly so, one of them is, dude, you make proton cannons. It's one of the coolest things in the arsenal of defense that the Protoss have. And the one thing you can do that's the coolest, you can only make one. It's very temporary and barely does any damage. It's just kind of a bummer that thing got backseated so much. So
imagine, you know, if Torbjorn's turret just shot at random stuff. And you know how scary Torbjorn is? Mm-hmm. He's basically like Probius. He's a dude that you control. He has one turret.
Mm-hmm.
I have nightmares about those turrets getting shot out of nowhere and creamed.
Sure.
It's like, this is the opposite. The photon technology, not up to snuff with Torbjorn's Swedish meatballs.
Or even... making me cough. But even, it's not even up to snuff like with Gazlow. Like those turrets of Gazlow's, even if they didn't have the new one ability or whatever for the targeting, those are still just more scary and cool and strategic.
The only skill factor involved in a photon cannon is where do I place it on the map?
Yeah.
And where did I put the pylon in relation to it? After that, it feels sometimes like it's doing nothing. Even if I put out an aggressive one, enemy can nuke it down pretty quick. It's far from indestructible.
Yeah.
It gets blown up super quick. So then it's like, I don't know. I think that's just one aspect of Probius that has made him a little unfun to play, is that the turret doesn't live up to the fantasy, and it also doesn't do godly damage either. So
And when you look at it from a StarCraft perspective, when you go into a Protoss base and you see a bunch of cannons shooting you, the goal should be to then say, okay, what pylon can I destroy real quick to eliminate these cannons? Like, that's what your mentality says, is let's destroy the pylon, let's get rid of the cannons. Here, there's not enough health or threat to really make you even want to do that. It's just like, all right, well, I'll just walk into the cannon and kill it because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And I would love to see them do something to where you were more inclined to go after the pylons and play the way you would against a StarCraft camp that has a bunch of cannons up, to try and incentivize that. But instead, it's kind of ignorable. And he's got so many cooldowns. Like, that was the other thing. And I thought it was going to make him a bad character. Like I said, I've been playing him a lot and I've been having fun and I've actually been doing pretty well on him, but I was always like, he's got so many cooldowns. There's so much stuff I have to do to go get set up and get ready because these cooldowns take forever, that the objective is over by the time I'm actually set up, because to put down just a single cannon, I have to warp in the pylon, then I have to warp in the cannon, then I have to start getting my warp rifts ready, and he can't mount, and if he takes any damage, his speed boost is gone.
Yeah. And he's slow. He's slow. That's the other thing.
Do you find that also when you go to do plans like that, either your pylon or your photon cannon's on cooldown and you make a miscalculation? You're like, oops, I better leave.
Yeah.
And but I get there and I'm like, yes. And it's like 15 seconds. Dang it.
Yeah. There's definitely an issue like that, especially when getting like tributes and stuff. Like, that stuff's kind of rough. But when it's working, when it's popping, it's fun. Like, I feel like the warp riffs are surprisingly my favorite part of the kit. When I first played with it, and initially I wasn't that impressed with it, but first of all, I wasn't fully up to speed on its functionality, but John quickly corrected me on that and then started using it properly. It's great for wave clear. It's great for damaging heroes, and there's some great talent options for it. But I also really like the disruption it creates. It creates kind of small, mini, almost like chromey sand pit threats. And you can do a lot of annoying things with them. You can really crowd people out, keep them from walking into them because either they're going to take a bunch of damage or you've got them repelling people or whatever you're going to do to spec those things out. I really like that part of his kit, and I really like his Q as a way to not only ignite those warp rifts and set them off, but also I like to pick the one that returns to him because it's this really fun thing of this just passed through two almost dead heroes. And they're running away, but it's about to come back and actually finish them off and kill them. A couple of moments like that I've had have been hilarious and awesome. So I think there's a lot to like about him. He's not perfect, for sure. I think I'm probably the sweetest on him of the three of us. But I like that they're also experimenting in this way, and I don't want them to stop. If they have a weird idea in their head about how to make a Hydralisk, or if they want to come up with some funky way to introduce another, a Marauder or a Firebat or something from the Terrans, one of these venerable units from StarCraft, and give it the Hammer / Probius treatment. I don't want them to not do that. I'd like him to keep experimenting in that way. And we'll see how it goes.
I think for me, the thing I just keep coming back to is we heard when we talked to Blizzard and when they went over the reveal for Ragnaros, how much they agonized over, well, we did it this way, and everybody just kept saying, but he just doesn't feel like Ragnaros, or this feels like you're playing a character other than Ragnaros, or he feels too downpowered from what this Fire Lord should be. And again, I really like Probius on his kit and playing him and all of that, but he doesn't feel like a probe. And so that's where the weird disconnect is for me, where I'm kind of 50-50 on the hero. It's on one hand, I do enjoy him. On the other hand, he's just not at all what I pictured for that couple hours between hearing the idea and then what we got.
I think that's fair. Of all the other stuff that came with this update, how do we feel like we're feeling about like Warrior changes, Bo? There were some big changes to Warriors. How'd that land on you?
Well, I've been playing them more, actually. So, I mean, with the changes to Warriors, there's enough to chew on here from that alone. That is kind of easy to ignore Probius. If I don't have a really strong desire to play Probius, then I've been more interested in finding out what's going on with the Warriors.
Yeah, Arthas. I see a lot of Arthas in your life right now, which surprised me. I don't know why.
Yeah, Arthas has been rejiggered again. And I think this time is much more of a victory in terms of its success. I think he just feels a bit, they're leaning into the Terminator fantasy of it. I just feel like I'm kind of this unstoppable force of Frozen. And it's kind of hard for me to put my finger on it, except that he's just very resilient and very immovable in a weird way. And he really does a lot to pin down squirrely heroes, even just slowing them in his circle. So, you know, they brought him up, but he's not, I don't think he's indomitable.
Right.
But he's been more fun to play.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is the fun factor up? Because that's been our complaint about him in the past, that he was just sort of, I don't know, so generic and so, you know, sword guy from the original game release. And when we played the alpha, I mean, the very first character I played in 2013 BlizzCon? When they first announced it, I guess. And I got to play a few games that night, and I remember picking him because I knew him, and it was fine. I wasn't really a big MOBA player, so I didn't really know what I was doing. But from then till alpha till release, he always just sort of felt like this guy that was like, all right, well, you're the Lili for Warriors, you're the Rainer for Warriors, you know, like you're just this trainer character. And I always felt a little bad about that because, you know, he's the freaking Lich King, he's Arthas.
But I think that's also a North American EU kind of way to look at him, because he's played a lot in competitive, still is in Korea, China, right? Like he's, it has to do, his particular toolkit is one that is, I just don't think it's as flashy in a weird way. I don't know if it has to do with his pajamas. Like if we think something's cool, we want to play it.
Yeah.
But like, he's got that pajama thing going on, and I'm not going to lie, it sort of bugs me when I go to pick him. I'm like, yeah, but look what he's wearing. I'm going to pick another hero.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's
got some good skins, but his base stuff is real.
Yeah, but his base, like, I want to look like his base. The problem with Arthas and skins is I don't want to look like it's weird. Like, I'm super happy to play with a different skin, Jaina or whoever, but Arthas, Lich King is kind of super iconic.
Right.
He's kind of, anyways, for me, it's a personal.
No, person. I don't think you're alone. I think there's, I think it's interesting that he's one of the characters with the most skin attention in the whole history of the game, and it's almost like they're just trying to distract everybody from the pajama thing.
Most skins, and I hate almost every single one of them.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the ones they give him are like, oh, here's one from like Mists of Pandaria or some kind of jungle hero, man. I forget what he even is, but he doesn't look anything like, he's like nothing jungle like Arthas. Man. He's just a guy that talks like Arthas. That's it.
And yeah, so, here's him with weird dragons on his shoulder for some reason.
It's funky, but I really like the idea of him being straight up Lich King. Let's be the Lich King. And they even said it. Remember when Sammy in that interview told us, he's like, yeah, we're still not happy with how he looks, you know, we want to tweak him or whatever. And this is a small thing, right? What matters to me more is how he plays. And according to Bo and others I've talked to, it seems like we're on an upward swing with him. So that's good.
Yes.
More ice, please. Yeah. Let's dive right into the character fantasy of some of these characters. So we talked about Probius at length and all that sort of thing. But this kind of reopens a common discussion we saw around characters like Tassadar. So let's take a second and talk about characters that don't quite hit the character fantasy and the abilities and stuff we'd like to maybe see them fix it. We talked about Probius, make him more like a probe. I think that's kind of the consensus.
Bo had a really good suggestion for Probius, too, that I 100% agree with.
All right, what is it, Bo?
Oh, this is easy. So what is it, Worker Rush? That's his mount?
Mm-hmm.
Called Worker Rush, I think.
Yeah,
I think
so. So if you cast it while in the Hall of Storms to get back into lane early in the game,
yeah,
you're on a full, I think it's 50 second cooldown or something, 40 seconds, 50 seconds.
Yeah, it's long.
A fairly extensive cooldown. Whereas, like, we've got past this with Hammer. Hammer, you get a free Z if you're back in the Hall of Storms. Mm-hmm. So that needs to happen, because another thing that's super frustrating is like, well, I guess I died. I'll be back in lane next year. Yeah. It was a pleasure playing with all of you.
Yeah.
Sure glad yeah, I... Yeah, and sure, you almost yeah. might as well not go back to where everybody is, because the setup time is going to be so long that whatever you're going to do, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and if you're on a map, so, if you're on a map like Warhead Junction, you're screwed. It's just so far for anything. That is the one place I really don't enjoy playing Probius, because I feel like I am so slow on that map. Like, I just don't get anywhere quickly. I mean, even I don't even feel like I'm getting anywhere in an average speed. It sucks. Like, he's no good on that map. And I feel like that's a good example of a place where he needs a boost. So maybe that's the way to do it. Have him reset that in the Nexus. That'd work.
And he needs to have an impact when he's not around. I think part of the fantasy too of the probe, we've talked a lot about probe, is just if the probe's not there, the structures can still do work. And because of the timed life of the, now I don't think the pylons have timed life, but the photon cannon does.
Yeah.
You're not having any impact on the map, even though you're dead. Like, when you're Nazebo and you cast Gargantuan, you can still push R and maybe hopefully hit things, and that's kind of fun because you left something on the map.
Yeah.
And with him, it's very low probability anything's going to survive to have any impact on the map.
So I have a pretty good dad joke / Bazooka Joe joke about Probius. You guys want to hear it?
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
All right, here you go. What is Probius's? I got to make sure I don't screw this up. What is Probius' religious leader? Who is his favorite religious leader?
Who?
Probe Francis the First.
That's really bad.
Oh, gosh. I apologize to everybody at home for that terrible joke.
That is double entendre, I believe.
Oh. I sent one out when he came out. You want to hear my dumb Probius joke?
Of course I do.
And just say what, like, don't actually guess it because it's easy and obvious.
I'll just say
what. Tell me what to do.
How do Protoss avoid colds?
I don't know. How do they avoid colds?
They take probiotics.
Oh, my Lord. Are probiotics not to get colds? I thought those were for not getting the runny gut or something like that.
You know,
yeah, that's is it Jamie Lee Curtis? Jamie Lee Curtis is the one on TV talking about eating probiotic yogurt to make your stool firm.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what we all need.
I like a good firm stool.
And it's healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Firm stool, so it doesn't topple.
That's right.
But I was saying Probe Francis the First is like a title and stuff, but it's also a sentence. Like, it's also a directive. You, sir, probe Francis.
Probe Francis. Yeah, you probe John Paul. Second. Yeah, but John Paul, probe John Paul Second. It's nice. Let's see what else. Let's talk about Ariel, a character I thought I was going to love, and I can't freaking stand her. I don't know what it is. I like support too, so I'm a support player. I enjoy many supports across the game. I can't stand Ariel, and I'm curious what you guys think would be needed to improve her or have her better fit the fantasy or both. Like, what is it that needs to be done? And listen, I know there's a contingent of people who freaking love Ariel. They think she's great. Dan, if you're listening, I know you love her. That's great, dude. I wanted her to be so cool, and she drives me nuts. I feel like I have to manage stuff I shouldn't have to. Got to put a crown on a dude and hope he kills a lot of things, and I don't like her. So
here's my Ariel zinger.
All right.
Here it comes, right down the pipe. I like that she's the angel of hope. I just wish that the hope wasn't, I hope I get healed.
Ah, that's, there you go. Zing.
Oh, my God.
In your face, Ariel.
Zing. Zing.
Ariel's not with that
bad. I agree with John Boat. Tell us why we're wrong. What's wrong with
I'm on the opposite side of the fence. I've been playing Ariel, and she's fun. She has strong heals if you have a strong partner. So, you know, maybe we need to have stronger partnerships and that your experience with Oriole would be better.
Maybe.
Because when you have a good hope generator as an Oriole, you can't spend the healing fast enough. When you get in situations where you're like, someone take damage so I can heal and not lose value off the other hope I'm generating. That's the life of an Oriole. Sometimes it's the other end that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the big thing that I want for her is she has a talent at level 20 called Flight.
Yeah.
Where she can fly around, not as far as Falstad, but it's got a cool sound effect, looks really awesome, and you can do sweet plays with it. And it needs to not be a talent, but baked into her, like a one key. She has wings the whole game. The last 2 seconds of the game, you're going to get flight off once or twice.
My favorite thing about this line, I have to share this, because it says in our notes, Oriole needs flight baked in or at an earlier tier. And then in parentheses, which I am sure John wrote, or just not be a bad hero, close parentheses. That's really funny. That's funny.
She's strong. I just think she's hard to use.
Mm. Yes. Okay. Hard to use.
She's not your Lily. She's not spam Q when the fight starts. She's, you know, I got to think about where I'm going to place my heal and how does this peel help my team? And it's like Palm with the Aegis. I have to have hope ready for when the Aegis resolves. I've also got to cast the Aegis at the right time.
Right.
And that's an art. That's very hard to do.
That stuff's cool. I don't mind. That's not the stuff that bothers me about her. The things that bother me about her, like, I love her lane clear whippy thing she does. I like her kick somebody back deal that she does. What I don't like is her healing mechanism. And I just sometimes wish she had some damn mana or generated hope in some other natural way instead of me having to rely on, you know, especially in solo queue. It's like, all right, I think this butcher is going to be good for me because of the comp we have. So I'll put the crown on him and he's just an idiot. Well, all right, who needs a crown? And then before I know it, I got people bottom lane going, there's no healing down here. I was like, because none of you can wear the crown, you jackasses. Like, there's a lot of that going on.
Mm. So. Yeah, and I mean, it goes both ways. Sometimes you don't have good hope generators. Sometimes you put the crown on weird people. I've seen the crown on Jaina's after all their cooldowns have been blown. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to get you any hope because she's just going to stand around and be here to help for the next few seconds.
Yeah, there's no hope.
Even Butcher, like, he does a lot of damage, but he's not a good crown target until he actually goes in to do something. If you just put it on him because he auto attacks, and look, he auto attacks fast. Like, Butchers are going to be more inclined to hide in the back line until they have their moment. Like, they're not going to be a good choice for your crown. So I think Aurels need to think about better hope targets or switch smarter. And, you know, maybe we should do a better job of generating hope. Maybe. Yeah. I've got nothing but hope for Aurele.
What if
she will actually have hope?
What if Aurele generated hope passively at a low rate? Okay, this is my fix. Low rate hope generation enhanced by the crown. Not just crown or nothing. That I would like. I would like just some kind of uptick in hope over time. So that it even if I've got the worst hope generators on the planet and it's just Jaina after her cooldowns or whatever the problem is, at least I've got something going on and I can get a quarter of somebody's life back if they need it. That sort of stuff would be nice. Yeah. I'm not saying it'll happen. Not even saying that's the right thing. It's the right thing for me to be interested in playing her. Because otherwise, I am so into her fantasy. I love the freaking High Heavens characters. Like, the minute we get... What's the guy's name? Genchus, Pinchus, the big guy.
Genchus?
Not Genchus. Like, who's the main?
He gives you coal if you're bad on Christmas.
wait, who's the big, not bad?
Imperius?
Imperius is who I meant. Imperius.
Genchus, Christmas. What do you call him? Genchus, Christmas?
Pinchus.
Genchus, Pinchus. Yeah. I'm writing that down.
I don't even know where Pinchus comes from.
I don't know.
Is there a cut scene where he's like, I'm going to get you?
I'm going to pitch you. No,
I've got these metal feelers. I'm going
to
get you.
He's coming. Has to be. And when he is, I'm stoked. Like, I love everything about those characters. And I wanted her. I love her in Diablo 3. Nobody said shit about a crown in Diablo 3, though. No one talked about it. There's nothing comes up. You don't have any kind of dialogue where she goes, oh, by the way, thanks for coming to heaven and everything. And I have to use a crown if you need healing. So anyways, see ya. Like, that never happened. I wish that would have happened. At least I'd have been prepared for it.
To be fair, I don't think she healed you in Diablo 3, so she's just like Ariel in Heroes of the Storm.
That's a good point, actually. Any other heroes we think don't really nail their character fantasy? Actually, it's funny because this is such a nitpick in a game that does this stuff so well. Like across the board, even in the lesser examples, Blizzard's really good at bringing out the fantasy. It's half the point of Heroes existing, is that they have the IPs, they control the characters, they own the name Artanis, and they can make Artanis any way they want, and they do a great job at bringing out the fantasy of these characters. But I can't think of any others. Can you guys think of any?
That was the funny thing, is like they have done such a good job with this that I was sitting there trying to think of, okay, well, who doesn't really nail it for me? And there are so many. I mean, smart decisions, like, and I'm going to lean on some good stuff here because I feel like I've been the one that's been real negative so far. But like Butcher,
yeah.
I don't much care for the Butcher in Diablo 3. To me, the Butcher is always about this like horror monster that runs at you the second you open a door and then kills you unfairly.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the Butcher they gave you. Like, that was what they leaned on. And, you know, I think you said it on the last version or episode of The Instance that the version of Jaina that you like best of all can only be found right now in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Like, they have found such a good way to lean on the most iconic and interesting parts of these characters that for the most part, I feel like they've absolutely nailed the style. Mm-hmm. Almost across the board, I'm having a hard time thinking of anybody that doesn't hit the way I would want them to.
Yeah, they really nailed Witch Doctors with Nazeebo too.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. Yeah. I mean, but even like in Ariel's case, it's not that her fantasy's bad. I mean, my complaint is just a mechanical one. It's like
I guess we're kind of talking about fantasy a little bit, but I realized the only thing I wrote in notes was like, I want this talent on this tier. I was like, I wasn't thinking so top down about the flavor of it because, as John said, they're amazing. They all fit really well. Even Probius feels like, he goes, brew, brew, brew.
Yeah, he's a little
and
probe
I'm like,
guy,
oh, sure. Yeah. And then he puts one cannon down, and I'm like,
yeah,
whoa.
No, keep going, buddy.
Yeah, no, he's got all the right, you know, sounds and looks and all that. It's just a matter of, you know, tweaking how they play. But yeah, I really don't have any too big complaints about any of that. But we've talked about things like Arthas looks a little stunted and weird.
Yes.
I wouldn't have Arthas. They need to just rework him. Just rework him. It's no big deal. Like,
not rework him, but like art rework him.
That's what I mean. Art rework.
Yeah, like we want just
facelift
that whole model and get us new Arthas models.
Yeah, do a facelift, get him looking right, make him look like he's supposed to look, and we'll be fine with it. Now, I know I say that, and I say that in where we have some history with things like Murky getting a facial reconstruction and everyone losing their freaking mind over it. So maybe they're a little more hesitant to do that now. It seemed like at BlizzCon they made a few comments about that, that it's like, we have to be careful. Some people paid for a character, and that's the ugly, you know, freaking frog monster they wanted, but we went and changed it. Now they're like, well, Wayne, I paid $10 for this frog monster. And
Scott.
Yeah.
After like every second match in the game, there's a little survey that comes up and asks us questions.
Yeah.
All they got to do is say, how good is the art on Arthas? And they could find out from the majority of players that they score one or five. Yeah. Instead of asking me, how were your teammates? Did you like them? And I'm in a five stack with my friends. Of course they're going to say, like, I hated them. I give them a one star. Like, ask me the Arthas art question.
Yeah.
And that way you can be like, all right, let's pour some resources into it. Maybe we can sell some more skins or sell some more Arthas here. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, to me, Arthas is one of the coolest characters in the whole pile of heroes there, but he doesn't feel that way. And no. I think the problem.
He's
it's
neutered.
It's not just mechanics. It's the artwork.
Yeah.
The artwork is the big part.
Yeah.
I'm with you. When they announced this, I was like, Arthas, man, he's the best. Arthas is super cool. Could be that Lich King was probably prominent around the time they first announced this game, but mm-hmm. I was just all in on Arthas. I was like, oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. And then I saw how he looked, and I was like, oh, that's okay.
It's like a little plastic. He's got like a rubber-looking sword, and it's not up to the standards the most of the rest of the roster enjoys. Part of that is Tyrael was an early one. Tyrael looks good. He looks okay.
He's the opposite, though. Like, yeah. Tyrael was the one where I was like, oh, he looks amazing. This is the Tyrael I want to play. Yeah. And then I got him, and I was like, I got my sweet Tyrael sword. I got my wings. I'm hovering. Let's go out. And then I hit something and watched it do nothing. It was like hitting something with a foam bat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. Yeah. I don't think I'm gonna play him either.
That was a very it's interesting you say that, because that was some of my initial stuff with the game also. And now that we're past that and we understand the systems of the game, it makes sense who can do what and to who. In the real world, a single swing by Tyrael's sword into a stupid frog monster named Murky should kill him. Yes. And we should never see him again. But in our little fantasy world, it only took off a quarter of his life, and he's got an egg over there, even if he, you know, I mean, like, all of these concessions gameplay wise make sense to me now. But when I first got in, all I could think about was, this is Diablo, and that is Tyrael, and they're gonna fight. And the fantasy in my head does not necessarily match a quality gameplay experience. So yeah. You had to get past all of that. Now, you know, Tyrael's fine now. But for a while there, I was like, well, you're not so tough. You know, you just kind of hover and hit stuff. Big deal. I can do that. I'm a person.
I can just do that. I just don't want
it. Yeah, it would just be nice for him to have more shooty stuff. Like, a lot of his stuff is like, I have a shield and I painted the ground and I threw my sword on the ground. He needs that Andy Sandberg skin or something.
Now that you say it, his kit is very...
he doesn't have like a, here's a laser from heaven.
Yeah.
Like you feel like Tyrael would have the justice beam or, you know, justice gun. Yeah, something like that.
Oh my gosh.
He gets the most interesting when he dies, which is sad.
Yeah, it is interesting when he dies. I'll give you that. All right, let's move on. My mouse stopped working. That's wonderful. All right, there we go. Hey, Heroes of the Dorm happened, or is happening. It's still going on. I heard some sad news about that. Somebody told me that there was like 700 people watching the stream on Facebook, and all I could think about was, John was right. Facebook was a bad idea. Oh no, freaking ring the bells and call the men. We're done. We got to get out and fight. Like, this seems bad. This should have been on Twitch, because nobody knows to go to Facebook to watch video games. But there it was, and that made me a little bit sad. But I never actually watched any of that, so I don't know. I don't know. Did the numbers ever look better to you guys?
Yep. Yeah, whenever I log into Facebook, usually, because I follow the Heroes of the Storm page, I think, on there.
Yeah.
If I log in, it's often at the top, and when it's live streaming, and it says live, and it says usually about 600, 700 viewers.
Yeah.
The problem is I also don't trust Facebook's reporting of stats. Like, you see these videos and it's like 17 million views, but I just don't get how Facebook works in a weird way. Well, I don't know,
like, because the video views are weird, because the way that they work, and this is, they've admitted this, but they weren't necessarily forthcoming about it, but if there's a viral video that gets posted on your Facebook feed, it's counting not just you, like when you click it and then get the audio and watch it as an actual video, that gets counted, but it also gets counted that you passively saw it silently hanging out there, even if you weren't looking at it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's jacked up. That's pretty jacked up. So the numbers like,
if you're on the Twitch, I mean, you're there because you clicked and you stuck around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's meaningful even in that environment, because, I don't know, you're kind of competing for eyeballs too. Like, you want to be top person listed in the game you're playing? Well, yeah. You know, that means something. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a lot more value placed by Twitch and by its users and viewers on that particular number, where I think Facebook just kind of...
Yeah. I saw none of it.
I guess they use it to sell the advertising, but I don't know.
I saw none of it. I heard none of it, and I haven't seen any of the Eastern Clash stuff, and I don't know if it's because I had devil flu or not, or what my deal was. I meant to watch more Heroes during this very competitive couple of weeks, and I haven't at all. I mean, and there's still Dorm to watch, but I have been lackluster in my attention to such things. So,
did you do your brackets?
I did not do my brackets, which means I'm not going to get a portrait, right? Isn't that the deal?
No portrait for you.
And it's the Kerrigan one with the cheerleader deal.
I know you were dying to make that your profile pic, so I know you're going to be really sad that you can't post a pretty cheerleader Kerrigan as your portrait art.
Let me think if I'm upset. No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm
all good. Okay.
Yeah, but now you don't have your chance at a $10,000 grand prize if you get first place.
Well, that I could see, but there's no way I was going to pick that well. I mean, there's no way. It would have been like the worst possible. Like, if I'd have gotten first place in my bracket picks, that's beginner's luck, because I'm notoriously bad at this. So I don't pick winning teams and winning stuff. I don't do that. That's not part of my kit.
But at least do it for Utah. You believe in Utah?
I always believe in Utah.
They went out the first round.
They did. They did. But anytime they're in, I get excited, and then they get out, and I feel bad. But hey, listen, this is the important thing about Utah, though. This is good news. The Utah, meaning University of Utah, which is the team that was representing, they are going all in on esports, and they're going to have, they're doing like full tryouts and like supported teams and school paid for teams and a whole bunch of stuff for League, Dota, Heroes, Overwatch, and I can't remember the other one. Maybe it was Counter-Strike. But they're going all in, and one of them they're going to try to beef up and really build around is Heroes of the Storm. So I'm very excited about that for the future. Cool. Right now they're just good. They were good enough to get in, not good enough to make it past the first day. So there you go.
I'm not doing good. I just checked my bracket.
Yeah, even you, and you're better.
I have 100.
Go ahead.
I have 190 points, and I'm ranked number 2,835.
Yeah. Now the cheerleader skin from Kerrigan. Do I get that for doing brackets? Or that just you just buy that, right?
You can buy it. It's a bundle that's going to be in the game. Okay. They kind of listed it under prizes, but I'm like. I think there's a Kerrigan. I think everyone should be able to buy that. I don't see them just doing that. I think last year the Asmodunk skin was like top 500,
yeah.
top 1,000.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm at 210 as well, John. We're neck and
oh,
neck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 280 is the top prize. Like, literally first place is 280. Like, 70 points divides 2,800 places.
You guys aren't that bad. You guys are doing
fine.
Well,
I said 190, so you're ahead of me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm 2,835th.
Does she run around?
Oh, that's your rank. Yeah, then we're the same rank.
Oh, you're okay. The same rank. What is, does she run around with pom-poms then? Is that the deal with that skin?
I haven't seen it yet. Just that, yeah, a picture of it where she has pom-poms and she looks a little more fair. Like she's less zergy.
Yeah, like a fair.
She's got the whatever it is cheerleaders wear.
I don't know if I care. I want to care, but I don't think I do. So
It looks good. It looks like... the Taronda or the Li Ming, where you look at it and you think, oh man, that actually looks like a better model overall.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll check
it out. I got a shout out. It's not really my alma mater because I didn't graduate, but I went to Queens and they're still in the tournament.
Oh.
So I'm secretly rooting for those guys. So I don't know why you'd continue to call your team Golden Gales, like every other sports team that they have, when everyone else went with like cool names like Rainers. Bathroom and crab legs.
Yep. Coolest names.
Yeah, Rainer's Bathroom.
And actually, one university, I think University of Quebec, actually called themselves the U Laval Fan Club. It was this other Quebec university. They just named it their fan club. Anyways, there's some great names in here, and you just went with your, what's the name of our local hockey team?
Yeah.
The Senators. We'll just call ourselves that. So, yeah, fix the name, but otherwise, lame. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I hope they go further. Arizona's not just dominating again like last time, or what's the deal there?
Arizona's in. They're actually who I picked to win.
Oh, because, really?
Oh, wow.
Obvi.
Okay.
I thought they were going to lose this year, so they're actually not high up on my bracket.
Right. And UT Arlington, their stats, 100% win rate.
Oh, wow.
Match record 9-0, games record 18-0, average game time 13 minutes.
Jeez.
Are you kidding me? Like, and Kier's on it. He's been Grandmaster in the Hero League, like with multiple accounts, like number one, all the seasons that have happened.
He's an insane like, person. Jeez.
It's insane that they didn't win last year, to be honest, but they didn't. So I think they're going to win it.
All right.
Who do you think, John?
I picked, I don't know how you pronounce it because I don't know colleges all that well. Laval.
Laval.
Oh yeah. Laval. Yeah. Laval, Quebec. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I picked them.
You picked some Canadians. Wow.
I did. Oh, nice. I did. Which now you say all that nice things about UT Arlington. I was like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have.
No.
Because I have UT Arlington going up until they meet, and then I switched over. So
any Canadians are going to win it. It's going to be Quebec. They're scrappy AF, you know, so.
Yeah.
Let's get some Quebecers in there.
Scrappy AF NA, I would say. Also, John, you live in Arizona and you're not even backing them. I'm just shocked about all this. There's no you've got no loyalty to your local team.
No, I mean I picked them for a while, but you know this was who I thought was going to win, not who I wanted to win.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I want Arizona State to win. If they won, I'd be very happy.
Sure.
Especially if they do the same thing as last year, where if the whoever wins gets the third skin tint.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a cool thing. And, you know, having school colors, local school colors, would be sweet.
You know what I'm looking forward to is whoever wins, they get to talk to their parents and say, did you ever think your son was going to be a professional video game player? Oh, well, when he was in high school, he sure spent a lot of time in his room, but we had to, I hate that so bad. Oh,
yeah. Saw a lot of that during the Western Clash with just the interview with the dad who was just like, I wish he devoted his time to math or anything else. And it's just like, all right, come on.
I hate it. I hate it. This is bad. To me, I always compare it to the, first of all, I want to thank Jesus moments at the end of football or baseball games where somebody always comes up to a microphone and says, you've won the World Series. You've done everything everyone said you couldn't. What an incredible season. What do you have to say? Well, first of all, I just want to thank Jesus. No, 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 no. Y'all do that. First of all, Jesus isn't a fan of your team. I'm thinking he's not specifically a Mariners fan, all right, or whoever wins. So that kind of stuff.
Scott,
drives
they
me,
won.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
Clearly, he must be because they won. If he wasn't, they would have lost.
I just love this idea of a Jesus who's got like a big number one foam hand and like beer on the side of his head's going, "Woo, Gonzaga all the way," or whatever. It's just stupid. I hate it. Yeah. I hate that. So to me, those are fit in the same category. The HTC Eastern Clash happened. It wrapped up, and MVP Black beat L5. They were the favorites to win, and they beat them twice. Well done, MVP Black. And Bo, you watched a lot of it. How was the production this year? For this,
that was good. They have these. So, like, all the intro graphics and transition stuff are super awesome for the Eastern Clash. It was like way different, but it was better, you know. And it was just the matches were pretty incredible. So I think L5, I'm not sure if they were formerly Ballistics. I know, I think SCSC is on there and Noblesse. I forget now. Mm. But like, I believe I'm right. They were the favorites to win and MVP Black returned in fine form. I think they nailed them to the wall twice.
Yeah.
So I went to watch the finals at first. I watched it all in VODs.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, the match to see was actually earlier in the day. MVP Black was pretty convincing with the wins there. It was good. It was very good. I wanted to make sure not to miss it because honestly, that's where I think the cream of the cream in terms of competitive heroes is being played, and it's the most exciting to watch.
So do we have what's left of HTC until BlizzCon? Do we have any? Oh, we have BlizzCon dates. Forgot to mention those.
Well, early
November.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant to say that earlier. But anyway, what's next? Where do we go?
We have the Heroes of the Storm esports site heroesesports.com, I believe. So I think there's an overview button. Let me see this overview. So we're not at midseason yet. Very important to note, and I think we talked about it in the last episode. Like, I know I was going on about, I think, the audience size for the Clash. I think I had it in my head that the Clash was the midseason brawl, but the midseason brawl hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
We're not mid-season. This is like the first, I don't know, split or whatever sports term, first half of half, first quarter. It's a small tournament. So there's the mid-season brawl, the mini finals, I guess, is in June.
Mm.
So, and then there's a whole other season between June leading up to the finals in November. So actually, I felt like looking back at it and being like, oh, this is like the mini boss before the boss at midseason brawl. It's actually pretty good. So I don't know. I want to walk that back a little bit and say they're much better than any criticism I might have thrown at it. Because I just had in my head that it was like, this is the halfway point for Heroes. So but no.
It's not
really. I'm expecting more for midseason brawl.
Yeah. Well, that's all coming up. John and I feel a little guilty for not watching any of it.
But good news. Yeah. I will say this. I forgot to put this in the notes. And as a result, I don't remember exactly where it was. But Heroes of the Storm was exceptionally high on Twitch's most watched for esports. In fact, it beat Overwatch.
Whoa. That's good.
For all of this, all of these brawls and HGC and all of that, it had better viewership than even Overwatch did.
That's great.
So yeah. That's huge. That's huge gains for them.
Yeah, I agree. But just imagine if Dorm was on Twitch as well. Maybe those numbers would be nice.
Yeah, the Reddit's also jumped up to top 10 or top 20 subreddits as well.
These are all
there's good, a lot of activity in there.
Good signs, good indicators that the game is growing. That the you know, the base is widening. It's good to see. That's heartening. All right, we're going to talk about, speaking of Reddit, a Heroes of the Storm Reddit balance Q&A. We'll talk about the highlights here.
And, yeah, let me. You want me to run through?
Yeah, please.
I actually read all the comments.
please do. If you read the comments, then you just to get some catharsis, need to read what you actually took out of it all. So what'd you get?
Yeah, I'm not going to read all the notes here verbatim because we already covered Probius, right? So Probius, we talked about the photon cannons, which is a lot of, I think, what they were fielding for answers. Yeah. And so a few other points they made just about the cannons is that also they're trying not to make clutter on the map. Mm. So it makes creates pathing challenges to have clutter, as well as, it's just visually a lot of cannons on the map can be, you know, hard to look at, I guess, if they build a lot of heroes like that in the future.
Right.
And his nicheness is intended. So he's actually not, he's kind of like they leaned into it with Chromie. He's going to be like a hero that you're not going to play every game with unless you choose to, but strategically he's not going to be optimal in every game. Like, I don't know. It's hard to go wrong with Vala in a lot of cases, right?
Oh, right. I see.
And the plan is if he's underperforming, there will be buffs. There will be buffs.
Yeah.
So I think that that's what they'll see.
Yeah.
For hero roles, they did address hero roles that, I think we've probably talked about their comments about this before. So it's not exactly news. But they do want to expand the four categories out. And so I think we can take it as confirmed that this is coming. Blizz Cooper even said that there's a huge difference between a Lieutenant Morales support and a Tassadar support.
Oh, yeah.
And that sounds true to everybody.
Huge difference, yeah. Well, that's great.
Another thing, and this is one where we can stop and take a little discussion if you guys have anything to say about it, but the team also addressed that the different armor types, some of the comments coming out of the community are that it basically creates win or lose at draft scenarios. So, picture, I first pick Li Ming. Great. Anubarak gets picked on the other team. Auto loss. And there's a lot of comments to that effect, like, oh, I've got the right armor type. Your team's countered. And it isn't exactly 100% off as a concern. And so they went out of their way to acknowledge that what their design goals were, which was the problem is if they just make tank characters, even if they have like a billion tanks, it's only the top 2 to 4 tanks that ever get picked on a competitive level and probably in most of your matches.
Right.
Because they're seen as the best.
Right.
So that they're trying to do is create depth in the tanking category. Without letting it get to the point of, well, this tank fits this situation and just is a counter, GG, you lose because we picked the right counter.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys felt this in your games.
Hmm.
I've been on the lookout for it.
What are your thoughts about, John, like spell armor versus physical armor versus armor, all the armors? There's a lot of armors going on right now. And I feel like you were talking about shields, but you were... For whatever reason, my memory says that you've had some thoughts about all this armor variability lately. Curious where you're at with it right now.
I get why it exists, and it's probably good that it exists, but I think it's another layer of information that we need to keep stock of, which right now is not super hard to do because Warrior is a limited pool. And then on top of that limited pool, not every warrior has a special type of armor. But, I mean, right now, Bo could do, and maybe write this down, Bo could do an entire Nexeperty category about, hey, which type of armor does X character have?
Yeah.
Like, if Greymane dives in, he gets armor. Which type of armor is it? And you have to keep track of that now. That's something you should have in the back of your mind. Tyrael now has armor. What type of armor does he have? How much is it? You know, there's levels because not only are there different types of armor, but there's also different variables within how much armor that is. It's not like there's, oh, Tyrael has armor, so therefore it is 15, and it's 15 across the board. It varies from hero to hero. Mm. So it's a lot to keep track of, and I don't necessarily love it for that, but I do think it's probably ultimately a good call for the game. My biggest concern when they talked about this was kind of that, was that it's another big thing to keep track of, But the other big thing is perception, because mechanically, I think this is going to be an okay change, and I think everything's going to be okay. But sometimes player perception can have a big impact in the game, bigger than what the actual change is.
Right.
And so you get to a place where it's like, oh, if they pick two mages, you have to pick a Nubarak. That's just what you have to do. And sure, you would gain an advantage going with characters that have spell armor, but if you're a player that doesn't feel comfortable with them, or a team that can't execute properly around him, he's not going to be an auto win or anything like that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the players reading these patch notes and viewing it from the outside are going to see it that exact same way.
Right. So that's I'm totally with you on that, on the whole perception thing. I think that's always a concern. Bo, do you think the current perception that things are being won or lost at the draft level has any merit, or is this just, like John says, a perception and they've fallen into a trap of like, well, oh, okay, well, you've countered it, so we're done, we're out, forget it, GG.
I think it's a bit of both. It's really hard to say from a firsthand point of view. I would really want to rely on data for that, because people feel they lose a draft for all kinds of reasons. Yeah. Or they, you know, so it isn't just that. Like, my experience isn't just this. Sometimes it isn't because they picked the right tank to counter Li Ming. We just got wrecked in draft, you know, like, because we went three warriors for some strange reason, or like, there's a lot of reasons that, at least in my firsthand experience with solo queue, that it's hard to just point right now at, oh, this, people are just picking the right tanks. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's an issue yet, but you hear people say it. So the perception is that.
Yeah.
I think the perception is slowly going that way.
And sometimes it's 9/10 of the law. I do like their spelling. See, normally when I would say if three of us agree on something, I would say we are in agreement, right?
Yes.
This article or this post, this is an actual paste from the comment, was at the end of the day, we are all in agreeance that the permanent hard counters, blah, blah, blah. Is that a word? Agreeance?
Apparently it was a word and fell into disuse and isn't used.
Okay.
And it should remain.
Did you look
word.
It up? That's
I
awesome.
Did. Yeah, because that's why it's here.
Did you know what? Did you know?
Scott scooped me and he noticed it. So.
Is that why it's in here for real? Because that kind of stuff drives me crazy. It jumps out like a sore thumb.
It bugged me a little bit too. And it's not the most egregious thing in the world. I tried to make a pun there. It didn't work.
I got the idea, though. That's good.
Yeah. You know, there's also something important to be said here too. It served both.
Yeah.
Agreeance isn't a word, and also hard counters are not healthy for the game. And so they'd prefer to lock out the more egregious ones behind mechanically driven methods more than passive ones.
We are
agreeance is not a word.
We are in agreement. Weird. All right. Yeah. Uther getting a rework. That was talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. We've known that's coming before. So they've reiterated again. I think it's really soon. Like soon.
Yeah.
Like very soon. Like this weekend soon.
Clarify,
next weekend soon.
I shouldn't say clarify. They teased a bit what his role would be, which is they're targeting him to be kind of a support warrior.
Mm. Interesting.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Because I would love to play some Uther as a... Like, that's already what I do. It wasn't necessarily right for his kit. It wasn't necessarily a right decision. But when I played Uther, I'm like, nope, I'm going to be right up, standing right next to the tank, doing Uther things. I'm going to do my little Uther voice. And I'm going to have a good time. And so this is just the doorway for me to talk like Uther for 30 minutes a game.
Speaking of dissonance, you got a bunch of guys with armor in the game. And Uther with even more armor than the rest. Like, there's literally piled on him. And somehow he's weaker.
Yeah.
He should be the tech. Like, it's weird, actually.
Well, speaking of sticking to, or, you know, the game adhering to the fantasy of the characters. His fantasy, in my head, is more of a warrior that heals. You know, like, he's out there in the battle. He's swinging his hammer around. He's training underlings how to be great fighters. But he's also, I love the light, and it's all, I'm only strong because of the light. And he still does his healy-wheely, but that fits better for me. If that's what they're doing, I think that's great. I might actually be interested in playing him if they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uther time.
Uther time is good time. And they're working on an Alarak update. That'll happen soon. They say the main focus of this update is improving his talent diversity. So we don't know when that is because they put a little trademark next to soon, which means Blizzard soon could be next year, as far as we know. Changes to Taranda. She is going to be divorcing her whiny husband, and also
she's got shiny new toys.
That's right.
No need for husband because she's got shiny new toys.
Tell me what her shiny new toys are. Did they just hint that? They haven't said. They don't know.
So they just said, and I'm super excited because I'm just starting to pick up Taranda and play her more again. Yeah. She is the best support you're not playing right now, probably, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
You need to play more Taranda because she is a powerhouse, and she got played. If you want to have a little clinic on how to play her, I think Bakery in the Western Clash Finals played her 3 times in the finals, and it was amazing. Solo support, Taranda.
Oh, yeah,
Bakery. If that doesn't inspire you to pick up Taranda and find out why she would be picked over like a Lili or a Morales or like any other healer as a solo support, give her a try again.
Is she even picked really more, powerful. Would you pick her over Big M, her husband there?
I played, she was the support I picked in Hero League the other day, and we were wrecked.
That's true. You were really, was a good move that day.
Malfurion's super powerful too right now, but Taranda has a role to fill that Malfurion can't do.
They're a power couple. Right? Yeah. I like them both a lot. And then what else? Oh, they said ideally all characters would be viable across a wide range of skill levels and play modes, but this is a near balance impossibility. Take Gazlo as an example. We would love to see him in esports at some point, even rarely, but it's not something we're actively balancing or designing for. As long as Gazlo has a place in the game, maybe it's quick match, then cool. That's an actual quote. So all you Gazlo players, don't expect to see him in any professional play anytime soon. Or ever, because he never is. Let's talk about new quick match rules in place. Is this happening now? It is. Oh, this is already done.
Yeah, just don't read the part about it being a post today because it was a post last week.
Yeah,
when I wrote the note.
I was going to say, this is old stuff. Oh, thanks everybody, by the way, for your patience there at home. Why there was no episode last week, I was sick as a dog and needed some time off, so it worked out good. But anyway, limiting the number of stealth heroes on a team to 1? That's glorious. Oh my gosh, can we just let that waft over everybody for just a second? Let it soak in. Let your skin suck in the fine juices of only one stealth hero at a time.
Amazing.
Good Lord.
So there are new players being born right now that will never know the pain of 4v4 stealth match.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to them about it, and their eyes will glaze over, and they won't really listen.
Well, the great
no idea what it's like to go through that.
But the great thing is they won't even really know because it's invisible to them. They're just...
Oh, snap, good one.
I didn't actually mean to do that, but I guess I did. But if you and okay, here's my question. Let's say we go and we 3-stack into a game and we all pick stealth heroes. It's not going to let us, is it, in a quick match?
No,
it'll
let you.
Okay. Yeah. It will let you, or it won't let
you.
Oh, damn it. You found a hole in the good news already.
So people can...
Gorath said it was safe to come back in and play quick match and there's a 4-stack of stealthers.
So it's a solo queue only sort of situation. When you're going to see that, right?
Yeah, this is QM matchmaking rules. Remember, these are special rules for the QM crowd because you never know what you're going to get. But some combinations like Abathur, Lost Vikings, and what's the other one that's weird?
Yeah.
It'll
Cho'Gall all together on a team feels bad. So they try to restrict some of those weird combos. Mm.
If you do it, it will probably put you in the shitty queue.
Yeah.
I don't know what that team looks like necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think we should try it just to see what we get on the opposing team. But I bet it's something awful.
I don't want troll. Yeah, nobody wants the shitty queue. That's a bad place to be. I'm not a fan of the shitty queue. That always reminds me of this clip. I'm going to play it real quick just for that. Here we go.
The shitter. We caught it.
Whoop. Sorry, I wasn't supposed to play. Here we go. Try it again.
The shitter.
The shitter. There you go.
The shit.
Okay, so that's the thing. Also, splitting warrior definitions to tank and bruisers. Bruisers equals Sonya, Zarya, and Varian. So, is that in the descriptor now? Like, is it telling me that those definitions are tank and bruiser?
They were spotted in the PT. That's in the quick match. It's not in the game text, I don't think.
Yeah, this is just a quick match queue. It's not even necessarily a rule. It's just there's a rule that if your team has a tank, the other team should have a tank.
Yeah.
So if your team, let's say, has four assassins and a Sonya. The other team does not have to have a tank because Sonya is no longer considered a tank.
It's
an attempt to balance it because you always had those moments, and same with the rule, because the other rule is Tassadar and Tyrande are now considered sustain with Medivh, Zarya, and Abathur, because that was the classic example. Mm-hmm. You queue up with a Tassadar, you get somebody that has Morales, and there's really one-sided healing versus Tassadar's not healing, and it doesn't feel like a balanced match. So they've reclassified them so that the existing rules of you have a tank, they have a tank, you have a healer, they have a healer, will now exclude some of these heroes that don't quite fit into the role as you see it.
Interesting. So the more heroes that get added, though, the more complex this gets, right? Like, I feel like they're setting themselves up for some trouble there. Because, well, maybe not. I mean, I guess maybe more is better, because eventually if you have a big enough pool of what they call sustain or a big enough pool of what they refer to as bruisers versus tank, that gives you more matchmaking options. So maybe it's not, maybe it's the opposite of what I'm thinking.
Well, plus there's no rules currently for sustain or bruisers. The rule is just in place for tank and healer. Mm. So really it's only impacting on that side. It's not like the game is currently saying, oh no, we will only allow one sustain per team. Right. It's saying that if one team has a healer, the other team should have a healer.
Ah, okay.
Well, they're coming though. The new tags were spotted in the PTR. They didn't make it into live, but I know there was a BlizzPro article talking about all their findings, because there's new role definitions somewhere in there that are going to make their way into the client eventually. And so terms like bruisers and sustain will be out there. And there was the confirmed in the Reddit Q&A. Well,
I'm ready for it. Bring it
it's
on.
It's coming.
We're going to talk about a quick core concept here. And Bo, let's talk about new season thoughts. New season thoughts with Bo. Wait, you need a theme for this. Let me give you a theme, okay? I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to just pull one at random. Okay. Here's the new theme for Bo's thing. Here you go. Bo's thing to do. All right. So give it to us. What's your new season thoughts?
Well, John put this in here for me. Oh, so I want to, I'd like to know what the questions are.
Volunteered Bo. So Bo, every season I feel like it is a brand new wasteland that we're going into. It's mm-hmm. A jungle. It's a new jungle you're going into in Hero League. There's new rules. It's like a new year at school. I'm going to just keep throwing out analogies till I feel like I've really found the one I like the best.
All right.
Some of your old friends are there. Some of the rules are still in place. There's still some cliques. But some of them are new, and I have not dove into my placement games yet. Scott, I don't think you have either, right?
No, I have not yet, no. I want
to. But Bo has.
Yeah, Bo has, yeah.
And I'm curious, just what is your impression getting in? Who are the hot bands? Who are the hot picks? What is your takeaway so far of the new Hero League?
Oh, I like this, Bo, because then you can, when we go do ours, we'll have a better idea.
I know. I'm just
You're not going to like the first one. You're not going to like. Okay. So I got into Hero League late last season, and I was impressed. People were complaining about the Hero League experience. I want to say the majority of my games, win or lose, people were competent at my level, tried to win the game, tried to do well at draft, no problems with early tank and support picks, none of this, everyone's assassin until whoever pulls a short straw gets to play support or tank or whatever anyone doesn't want to.
Yeah.
It's turned into that at the beginning of the season. It's quite clear, it's almost horrifying how much the game has changed now that I'm playing the first week of the new season. So my first little tip is don't play Hero League right now. unless you got a diaper strapped right on for all the stuff you're gonna have to put up with, and you're gonna take a shit how mad you get, because that's how bad it is. I had a Ragnaros who I think shot about 15 sulfurous smashes and didn't hit a single thing, and he was the one yelling at everybody, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that, right? And I was like, I haven't seen this the whole season last season. So I think there's a bit of early season, like, I don't even know what you call it. I guess they all gotta go down the ladder. we try to get up the ladder because it's bad. And that's tip one. Tip two, ban Ragnaros. it just, if you want to not tilt your team, even if I don't think Ragnaros is that ban worthy, to be honest, but it depends. It's, I think the majority of players probably have a difficult time dealing with him. They just accept it. Ragnaros is a big ban. Lucio has a ridiculous win rate, actually. So you do well with a ban versus him. Malfurion, you can't go wrong. Artanis is still, he's not like an auto win kind of character, but can't go wrong with a ban on him because he can be a house versus teams that don't know how to deal with swaps. Those are your big bans. Apart from that, the game's pretty normal, except it's just a bit of a zoo in terms of the committed people stick around till the end of the season. So if you're tentative about your experience, you're easily triggered, I might say give it a week or two before getting in there, unless you really just feel like playing. Because I've had some really good experiences. It's like night and day, like teamwork synergy to the max. Everyone's holding hands and looking in one another's eyes and winning. And the next match, I feel like it's like a baby daycare. There's no rhyme or reason to what anybody on my team is doing. And I'm trying to follow one of them as Malfurion, for example. And
oh, my Lord.
Ping what you need to do. This
sounds rough.
Yeah. Because if we would have had this conversation a few weeks ago, I'd have said solo queue hero league, it's perfect. This week right now, man, I miss playing with someone on my team. Kyle, I want to duo queue again, or Ryan, or even one of you guys, anybody.
Yeah.
Because there's some bad players out there. And when I say bad, I don't mean they're bad at the game. I mean, they're just in there for the lulls, and they ruin my Hero League experience when they don't take it seriously. So there's a lot of that happening right now.
But do you think that stuff subsides a bit after a week or two? Like, how much time do you give it before the rush of the weird first few days?
I don't know. I've usually come late to the season. This season, I was like, better get an early start. Well, I'm going to get an early start on a dip down to gold, I guess, because it's bad. I got a guy in the queue. He's like, don't worry, I got this. I play Nova. I'm the best Nova.
I had that. And we all said, my least favorite thing to hear in draft.
You're good. And everyone was like, Nova's not good. And I'm like, yeah, but we're like, well, you know what? Some people are really good at Nova.
Yeah.
Okay. We went in there and died and died and died and died. And I went, oh, I thought this was done for me. I thought I finally graduated past this nonsense, but no.
You don't want to hear people say I'm the best Nova ever in any context or situation.
There is best Nova players. They usually don't say that they are, though.
They never have, people that self-proclaim they're the best at something. My radar goes, beep, 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 idiot, beep, beep, beep. He's lying. He doesn't know anything. He's talking out of his ass. That's what happens. That's what I would have thought. So I don't trust those guys. Those guys are
But you don't want to be toxic. You don't want to be like, someone's like, hey, I'm the best Arthas. And be like, yeah, prove it, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just like, okay, like, let's see what you got. You know, like that's the best you can do in solo queue. So you got to not tilt and just enjoy the ride if that's what it's going to be. But
all right.
Yeah. I, apart from tips, there's no clear, like, don't take Probius. don't play Medivh unless you're a god with him, because that's not going to work either. Mm. And apart from that, you're probably all set.
Okay. I've been.
Have a hero for every role. It's true of every season. You know, come prepared to play anything.
I have a question that'll probably be better suited as an actual topic next week. So I'll just lay it out there, and then maybe some people can write in about it, and maybe we'll talk about it at more length. But you just reminded me of a thing. I wonder. Everyone's probably has a hero that they really like to play, that you just think is the funnest thing ever. And it's a viable character that a lot of people play and ends up in tournaments and real, you know, pro play and everything else. So it's not like you're playing a dud character or something that just happens to be fun. But you know, even though you're having a blast, even though you're winning games with good, you know, good teammates, you still kind of have this feeling that you suck at that character. Like you're not nearly as good as you think you are, or you're not, your good time isn't matching up with your contribution. And I'm having this right now with Li Ming a little bit. I love playing her. I'm getting her to 10. Came to her a little bit late, which is weird because my favorite character in Diablo 3 is the wizard. So I should have been more all over it early, but I've come to it a little bit late. I have really fun games, great moments, but I never ever look at the stats at the end and go, oh, look, I got the areas I should have. And again, I know we've talked before about stats and whatever, snat, smat, schmats, but But I still, at the end of it, go, I think I'm just having fun, but I don't really know. I don't really have her down, right? And everybody, I think, probably has some character like this that they play. I don't know if you guys do off the top of your heads, but somebody who's fun and that you like digging in there, but at the end of the day, you're like, I don't know if I'm very good at this character.
Yeah, but I think it's Carl Jim for me.
Yeah. See, and I actually feel like I'm good with Carl Jim. I mean, like the numbers tend to, but they're hard also for him to, on him to track. Like he's weird. I don't know. But if he's your guy, then he's your guy. John, who's that for you? Do you have anybody like
that? This is a little twist on it, because he's just what popped into my head, but he doesn't fit your criteria necessarily, yeah. Which is, I have not played much of him. I'm not good at him. I'm not even beginning to say I'm good at him. But Medivh, when I played a game of Medivh, I feel like I owe everybody an apology at the end.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do it, and Bo or Kyle or whoever we're playing with is like, you don't need to apologize. You did exactly what you needed to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I just flew around as a bird and occasionally hit things. And they're like, yeah, that's what you needed to do. And I was like, is this all I'm good for, being just a big bird in the sky? Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I always owe people an apology at the end of a Medivh game. I should just apologize to everybody.
No, I think
Unlike Abathur, where I genuinely owe everybody an apology.
Oh, sure. I have those moments too. Like, I'll play an ARAM and end up with some sucky choice, like, I don't know, Aurel, A, I know I'm bad at it, and B, I never expected anything else. But it's kind of frustrating to feel like, man, I just had the best game with Lee Ming, and you look at the numbers and go, no, you didn't. This isn't even close to the best. This is like, you know, you were second or third in damage. You shouldn't have been. You're behind some specialist who, you know, shouldn't have had those kind of, like, drives me slightly nuts that I feel so good with her, and yet I don't think the numbers translate. So anyway, it's an interesting thought experiment. Yeah. People at home want to tell us about theirs, that'd be great too.
Yeah. I actually, just to go off that too, because there's a lot that we can talk about, but sometimes it's hard to focus in. I'd love to hear from people if they want to propose, rather than just write in for questions. Mm-hmm. They actually want to have, it's helpful to find topics that people, our listenership, is interested in hearing.
Yeah.
So that would help at least focus it for me, if we wanted to pick a topic for conversation, because it's kind of, I don't know. I don't come out there being like, here's how you play heroes. That's not my style when it comes to doing this stuff. So if somebody has a question, it's better. I like this one, but the answer's just not very good right now.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to say about your Lee Ming comment too is that you have to look at it. There's a few vectors to understanding a character. Like, there's being good with your character and knowing how to combo it.
Yeah.
And then there's understanding how the enemy plays against you, if that makes any sense. Like, sure. There's that whole, yeah, if I do this combo, I blow them up, but Arthas has different defensive things than Sumeru. So realistically, what can I get away with in what situation and all that? So
right.
I think there's a bit of that. You know, there's more to the journey than just, hey, I know how to calamity people and to combo reset. Like, there's a lot going into it. And so I wouldn't feel bad about it, because you might have a really great game and then you play against an opponent who knows your tricks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're not OP on the character because it was just other people letting you get away with murder.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're bad at it. It means you need to level up your skill. And I think those, like, checkpoints come up all the time with all the heroes you play that you think you're good at.
Yeah.
Also, Chromie, I was just looking at my win rates globally.
Yeah.
I have like a 23% win rate on Chromie.
Oh my gosh.
I've played like 71 games of there, and I'm like, I'm pretty good Chromie. I can hit this thing.
Uh-huh.
Clearly nobody's going to be knocking down my door for a Chromie on their team after hearing that.
Wow. Yeah, see, so there's a good example of it. I don't know, it's just funny. It's funny how that works. But I'm really curious what people at home think is the character they love and think they're great at, but then look at the numbers and go, ooh, I don't know if I'm so great at it. So send that and any other questions you may have into the show. We would appreciate it. That's going to do it for us. There is no after stream today per se, although, well, anyway, keep an eye on frogpants.tv, because maybe some will change. But I am I'm part of the movie draft tonight over at Night Attack. If you're interested in that, that will carry over on the stream right after this. I believe we're auto-hosting it. So that's coming up shortly. Don't forget to go to our website, heroesforyou.com. We are simulcast on alphageekradio.com, and you can find us in the game by joining the Frog Pants group. That's /joinfrogpants right there in the chat. And you can play with us and others in the community just about any time of the day. CoreyHeroesForYou.com is our email address. Use it as often as you like and follow us on Twitter. You can find Bo at Bo Schwartz. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And you can find John at John underscore Jagger. We are at HeroesForYou.com if you're looking for everything else. So go do that. It's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo, and for all of you. We'll see you next time. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Do snakes fart?
Yes.